Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck will join us here in just a few moments. Also, appreciate Trevor Maddich for joining us in the last hour. So Trevor Maddich and D. Mace kind of discussed their respective perspectives on the Treylon Burks situation. Obviously, Trevor Maddich was out at practice a couple of weeks ago, said that he would have cut Treylon Burks for his effort in practice. So if you missed that, you can find that on your preferred podcast platform, Caroline, Willie, D. Mace on Spotify, whatever. We're on YouTube as well. So be sure to catch that if you missed that. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate your time today. The Titans wrapped up the offseason period with the OTAs yesterday, had mandatory mini camp last week, so they're off until training camp until mid to late July. In the offseason period with the OTAs and mini camp, understanding that things are new, especially now with the new coaching staff, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a lot of new pieces on this squad, how much do you feel like you can get out of OTAs and minicamp, and what do you look for in this period now that we've officially entered the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing you look for through those periods is, like, it's all new, right? So who's picking it up? You know, there's probably some familiarity for some players where they maybe been in the system before, maybe they get it quicker than others. You know, you see your young guys, how quickly have they picked it up? So I think that's the thing is, you know, they're typically your first three installs. A lot of times, especially, you know, people with West Coast background, because it's the way it's always been done, you know, the three-day mini camp install, that's also the first 3 days of training camp's install. And so you kind of have a basis of knowledge of where you think your team is and their understanding of it. And then, you know, for guys that were behind, look, they had a chance to try to get caught up on some of the stuff. So, you know, I think that's what it really does. And then it also, you know, I think you can find yourself in environments where, you know, somebody was impressive, you know, through, you know, training camp. Or, you know, somebody was like, you know, we drafted this guy, we thought he was something, and he's maybe not that. And so, you know, I think that's kind of, the thermometer, if you will, just kind of the barometer, I guess I should say, is like where your team is at that moment. And I think that's where it's helpful because it gives you a sense of, you know, where your kind of jumping off point is once you get to training camp.
A couple of names that have been on the report of not on the field, whether it was OTAs or minicamp, T'Vondre Sweat, the Titans' second-round pick, 38th overall pick out of Texas, and Nicholas Petit-Frere, who I think we all view as the leader in the clubhouse to take that starting right tackle position. Neither of them were on the field in minicamp or OTAs. What would be your concern level for those two guys not able to be out on the field? Brian Callahan saying that T'Vondre Sweat dealing with a minor injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the number one thing is, like, you're not getting coached, right? And so there's, whether it's an injury like that right there, like guys are injured, and so you're dealing with that. And then I think the other aspect of it is, look, you're not getting coached, which is what those guys need to be doing, you know, especially if it's going to be slightly different than things that they've done in the past. So, you know, that for me would be, you know, kind of the number one concern that I would have about guys that are, I don't know that you're expecting a lot of, to your point, right? Like, you're expecting guys to be a starter, guys to play at a high level. And so whether they're talking injuries before we're ever in pads, or whether it's, you know, not, you know, a full understanding of being coached in the system, like, those would be things that, you know, I think you at least probably start to have a discussion about, are there veteran players that have been in the system that we feel like we could count on?
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, this is more of a, I guess, more of a philosophical question for you in regards to building a team. You've spoken with a lot of GMs and coaches, especially in today's football. Is it better to try to build your defense up first, considering and I'm talking relative to the Tennessee Titans because, you know, they got a lot of building and rebuilding to do with their roster. But is it better when you're facing these teams that have these, you know, these awesome and great quarterbacks, or these offenses that are sort of high gear offenses, is it better to build your team to try to outscore them, or is it better to build your team to stop them? And once you build it to stop them, then you try to build the other areas around them. I know you need your quarterback. I understand that part. But it seems like, you know, if you try to outscore a team, that may not work, because a lot of teams have been trying to put together their roster to outscore Kansas City, and it still hadn't worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think this. I think that in all my time, I've been an analyst, you know, for 16 years now. The thing that I would say is that we probably all tend to focus too much on offenses. Like, I just know that I'm guilty of it, where, like, I'm like, hey, which team is better? Like, you know, I choose the team that I think got the better offense. And, you know, you kind of find yourself in an environment where you just, it's just what we do. We favor quarterbacks, we favor offense and all of that. But you can compete with a good defense, because offensively, like, yeah, while you have to score points, you also have the ability to, like, you know, like, look, you can play slow. You can slow things down. If you have a defense, you're limiting possessions, and, you know, you have a chance to be in it, right? And so I definitely believe that, yes, you need the quarterback. Yes, you need to score points to win. But at the same time, like, if you have a really good defense, you can be competitive, because you can change how you play on offense to at least give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter. So I say all that to say that, like, you know, I think that the teams have done that. Like, I feel like I've seen teams do that. I feel like, you know, it's not the most exciting brand of football, but it keeps you in it. What you can't be successful doing, I don't think, is if you can't stop anybody. Like, if you can't get off the field on third down, if you can't stop people from running the football, then I don't care how good your offense is. You're just going to find yourself where, like, the ball doesn't bounce your way. And, you know, next thing you know, like, you know, it's death by paper cut because they're running the ball down your throat or something like that. So,
Tim, I hate to cut you off here, but your phone is sounding a little bit funky. So we're going to hang up, call back, and hopefully to workshop your phone situation here. So we'll call you back here in just a moment. All right, there you go. That was a little bit of a relief there, not hearing that ticking sound.
It was so, like, is there tapping the phone? We got the government, the boys tapping the phone?
At first it sounded like birds were chirping.
Boys. Yeah. The boys tapping the phone. What y'all doing?
There's going on through.
What y'all doing? What y'all doing? I mean, come on now. Y'all doing something illegal, Nick? What you doing? What you doing when you leave this place?
So we'll get Tim on here in just a
second. Don't blame me, Janice. Come on now. Yeah, it kind of sounds like my AirPods after they went through the wash. They're just, you know, you get that feedback. Like, turn it up, man. Let's hear it. And static. Like, oh, I got to get some new AirPods.
Do we have Tim back?
All right. I'm
there
back.
We go.
Much better.
You got me?
Yep, that's much better.
This is so much better.
I'm back. I'm literally like the same spot I've been in for like every week for the last 6 years.
I told him it was the boys.
Amazed me. It was I can remember doing hits with you guys when I lived in New York City, and it'd be like, hey, and I'm like, how are you not getting reception in New York City? Like, I literally am in the same spot I'm always in. Mm-hmm. I could hear that too. I was like, maybe it's just me hearing it.
I think it was all of us. But no, what you were saying, Tim, and because so many teams, and I experienced this a while back when, you know, when Peyton Manning was just entering into his prime, and we had to go up against Indianapolis every year. It wasn't so much of how can we outscore Indianapolis, because we had a format of what we did. We ran the football, we played great defense, and, you know, we threw the ball, but it wasn't like Indianapolis did. But what the coaching staff did and Floyd Reese did, they went out and got defensive players. They went out and got Javon Curse, guys that can get to the passer quickly, so it negates some of the stuff that they're able to do from an offensive standpoint. That's why I asked the question, because some fans or people look at it, we need to build this offense. We need to build this offense to outscore this team. Well, yeah, that's great, but if you ain't got a defense to stop somebody, you're not outscoring Kansas City. You're not outscoring Cincinnati, teams like that that have these high-powered, you know, elite quarterbacks.
And that's why I think watching what the Chargers do, what the Los Angeles Chargers do, I think is going to be really interesting, because it feels to me So, like, that's a team like, nope, we're going to run the football. We're going to invest in defense in a big way. And that is how we are going to challenge these amazing AFC quarterbacks. Like, that's what I feel like is going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, watch like that unfold.
With that being said, do you think, because Jim Harbaugh is probably one of few guys in this business that can sort of change how you think or what you think about offenses or football in general, just based upon what they're able to accomplish. Like, Jim Harbaugh is a run-first type of guy, and he's going to play great defense. Not that he's not going to throw the ball around the yard, but what he wants to do is maul you up and down the field from an offensive standpoint and then from a defensive standpoint. So if they're successful, do you think this may change the narrative just a little bit on, you know, you need this or this to be a successful team or a successful offense?
Yeah. Here's what I think. I think you look at a team like the Cowboys, which is a good football team, but they found themselves playing at times with 210-pound linebackers. And because of that, and because they were playing with 210-pound linebackers, there were people that just ran the ball down their throat at times. And so, and then conversely, like, you just look at, you know, Baltimore, so Jim Harbaugh's brother, like, what have they done? Like, they have had these big physical backs, a 295-pound fullback, big tight ends, and they've run the football, and then they've tried to play really good defense. And while they've, you know, not won a Super Bowl, you know, the past few years, like, they've been a problem for people. So unless you have Patrick Mahomes, like, which only one team does, like, your plan can't be like, hey, let's do it like they're doing it. Well, you don't have him. So I do think D-Mace, like, as everyone said, like, hey, we're going to spread it out. We're going to do this. Like, I think there are some teams that are like, no, like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a fullback in the backfield. We're going to put a big tight end. And, like, we're going back to 1970, and we are going to pound the ball.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, you know, I think the 49ers know what they're doing, and obviously they've got a little extra in the budget because of the unique situation of their quarterback. They've got a great quarterback who's not taking up a lot of cap space right now. But what did you make of the Christian McCaffrey reinvestment at this stage of his career? That's against the grain based on what most running backs get, but of course Christian McCaffrey is not an ordinary guy.
No, he's not ordinary, and I think that's a real difference, right? Like, I think that's why, like, the guys that could catch 100 balls in a season, like, they're running backs, yeah, but they're not, you know? And I think that's the difference. And I think with what they do on offense and just kind of, like, the versatility of a player that could line up as an X receiver, be a Z receiver, then he'd be a tailback, and he can run, you know, power and inside zone and ISO, and, like, he can do all of those things. So I think, like, that to me is why he's just a little bit different. I think Saquon Barkley is a guy that could be different as well. The difference is Saquon's been injured, and, you know, McCaffrey, for the most part, has been pretty much healthy throughout his career. So, you know, that's really where I think the, you know, why he's an outlier and against the grain in terms of how he's been compensated.
You know what's interesting, though, about that is I look at Carolina and the mess that they have become, and they have been burned badly on some trades here, and they have not come away with much. And McCaffrey, you know, looking back, he did have 2 years with Carolina where the tag might have been, hey, look, he's struggling to stay healthy. Let's trade him. But they just didn't get much for him, right? But that is, looking back on it, man, they've got to be thinking, what were we thinking?
I also think, too, like, and this is where coaching matters and is a factor. It's, you take a player like Isaiah Simmons, the really talented linebacker out of Clemson, and goes to Arizona. It just wasn't a fit. You know, just it wasn't working, wasn't making plays. They weren't sure he was going to make the team. And the next thing you know, he goes to the Giants. And, you know, I think at the time it was Wink Martindale. It was like, oh, okay, like, now we're finding some unique things to do with them. And so I think a similar thing for offensive players. Like, look at, like, Wes Welker at one point was in Miami, and it was like, yeah, I don't know what we do with this guy. Like, yeah, he's okay. He might make the team. And he goes to New England, and
It's incredible, you know, what he does. He catches 110 balls a year. So, you know, I think that McCaffrey is one of those guys. Like, unless you really see his versatility and what he can do, yeah, like, you may end up just whiffing on the whole idea of what it means when you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that was a whiff. But there's been more than one whiff for Carolina here. Circling, let's go to New York here. And every time I flip on Stephen A. Smith or you know, whatever talk show is on when we have the sound down while we're talking on the air, it is Aaron Rodgers not at mandatory minicamp. So what do you make of that? What's going on there?
Yeah. So I normally be like, whoa, okay, that's bad. I will say this. I feel like Aaron has been very committed this offseason to the Jets. I mean, he's been at basically every voluntary thing that they've had. And so had he not been around for any of that and then doesn't show up to the mandatory stuff, I'd think, okay, that's I would question that. I'd be concerned about that. But, you know, because he's been at all the stuff that he really hasn't had to be at, and then going back to last season after the Achilles injury, when a lot of guys would just say, hey, I'm going home, I'm out, like, he was there. He was in meetings. He was going to the games and stuff. So I think Aaron's actually been more committed than most people would have expected in year two with the Jets. And my guess is it was communicated the way that it was because Aaron's probably at an event that's maybe publicized. And so rather than saying, hey, he's not here for a personal matter, you're going to find out that he was whatever, you know, at some darkness retreat that somebody sees in that. And they're going to say, yeah, he was there, right? And so I think that's probably why, you know, Saleh has had to address it the way that he has.
I love Diana Rossini's report when she wrote, he prefers to be somewhere else away from football. Like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of those guys would prefer to be somewhere away from football, but, you know, woe is me. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, last one from me. We were discussing this yesterday. The safety market has been awfully quiet. Is the safety position becoming like the running back position, undervalued now that a lot of the money is tied up with not just the quarterback position, but now the wide receiver position?
See, I think for the right guy, no. Like Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore, such a unique player because of his versatility. Like, you know, we're talking about offenses, and, you know, still right now, everybody is trying in a passing league to spread the field out and do all that. But that safety needs to tackle, too. So I actually think it's a valued position. I just think it's a really difficult position. And so until you can find the guy, because it's rare to find the guy that can cover man coverage, is a good, you know, open space half field or, you know, center of the field player. But then when he's one-on-one with space with a tailback, he can get him to the ground. He can cover a tight end. He can be versatile enough to play, you know, in dime or nickel packages. And so I just think it's a hard position. And I think rather than paying guys that are just okay, you know, it's people are waiting for the next Kyle Hamilton or Ed Reed or whoever it may be that is a really good, versatile player.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by today. Training camp going well this summer, I hope.
Well, good workouts going in.
Nice.
Actually, our workouts are working better than my phone is working today. So that's good.
Well, good to hear it. Tim, appreciate you. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Do you want to react to what he had to say there? Plus, coming up next, I saw something that Derrick Henry said in a press conference in Baltimore, and I thought, ooh, some Titans fans out there are not going to take very kindly to this. But I don't think that you should feel that way. We'll react to that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.